This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 2176. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world. On this edition, recorded February 2nd, Afghanistan, Andorra, Antarctica, Australia, Brazil, Canada, Congo, Cuba, Denmark, Egypt, Ethiopia, Europe, Hawaii, Indonesia, Korea South, Martinique, Myanmar, Nigeria, North America, Oklahoma, Oman, Peru, Russia, Sweden, Turkey, UK, USA, unidentifieds, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer, via Hans-Jürg Biener press releases, January 30th, from RFERL and USAGM, say they are expanding broadcasts to Afghanistan despite Taliban ban, available 24 hours a day. 2 months after the Taliban removed RFERL from AM and FM radio transmitters in Afghanistan, Azadi, as it's known locally, is doubling its time on air from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. local time on medium wave 1296 kHz and the rest of the day on short wave. In the wording of these press releases, it seemed to me that being at night only implies 1296 would be from a new site outside Afghanistan. But Radio Magazine on FB says otherwise. An agreement has been reached with the Taliban, planning to make Pul-e-Charkhi broadcaster site available for Radio Azadi. But it removes permission to broadcast on FM and excludes VOA broadcasts. Starting January 18th, the station will once again use the Pul-e-Charkhi medium wave transmitter at 1296 kHz from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. local time. From Christian Guibaudeau on the British DX Club, Sunday, February 25th, from 17 to 18 UT, there will be another broadcast from the archive of Radio Andorra. 1979, it's called Carte Blanche to Philippe Châtel. And it's back on the Mosbrunn Austria transmitter, 6180 kHz. He says thanks to donors on the GoFundMe site, without whom this distribution would not be possible. LRA 36 Antarctica was scheduled for another Saturday special, January 28th, at 15 UT on 15475.98, reduced carrier USB. However, there were no signals to be heard via remotes in southern South America. We assume they were not really on the air. But Manuel Meneth contacted the station, and they claimed they were actually on shortwave. In any event, we could hear the broadcast by listening to a webcast via the Radio Nacional Argentina website. However, they gave him a link which was different from the one that goes directly from the website, which did not work. Anyhow, we were hearing it after 1617 UT that way, and repeated again after 19 UT, when still there was nothing to be heard directly or via remotes on shortwave. Nothing is expected currently on Wednesdays. However, Horacio Negro got news that there would be a broadcast at 19 UT on February 1st. And this one was audible at the usual level via remotes on shortwave. But it cut off, as most of them seem to do, before they're supposed to be finished, after only 37 minutes. Ron Howard says there's a YouTube audio video of Shortwave Australia, the low-power station in Victoria, on 2310 and 4835. It's on YouTube. The last one is 17 minutes long, with a tour of the transmitter site and the surrounding area. In fact, there are a number of such audio videos. The best way to find them on YouTube would be search on the operator's ham call sign, which is VK3ASE. Although we mentioned that Austria would be the transmitter site for another monthly, more or less, Andorra special, Bill Telford says, one of the saddest aspects is that in its heyday, Radio Austria International was one of the best sources of relatively unbiased news about Southeast Europe and Austria, of course. It was on my regular listens list for that very reason. Brian Clark in New Zealand reports, on Sunday, 22 January, I heard Brazil's Radio Saturno on 6150.038 at 0750 UT, but I've not been able to hear it since. I suspected they might be on the air only on weekends. He first heard them in October of 2021. However, checking 6150 Saturday 28 January at 0746, it was still missing, but there was a new signal on 6170.02. Not a European station, but it was, in fact, a new frequency for Radio Saturno, because it was in Portuguese, and eventually with an ID as heard not via Brazilian remotes, but one in Argentina. Then he found out that Brazilian DXers had first reported the new frequency on 24 January. Sheldon Harvey in Quebec says, I'm listening to Radio Saturno via remote in Brazil, with ID and news in Portuguese, at 0300 UT Sunday, January 29th, on 6170. And also barely audible, direct but presumed, to Manuel Mendez in Spain, January 29th at 0633 until eclipsed by Japan at 0700 relayed via France on 6165. All I could get so far was the JBA carrier, January 31st at 0730. But there are considerable time periods when nothing else is scheduled on the frequency, notably 2050 to 0200, 03 to 05, and 0530 to 1000. That is disregarding minor stations such as Radio Europa in Holland and Scandinavian Weekend Radio in Finland. Radio Saturno was a rare newcomer to shortwave. It didn't even make it into the final WRTH 2022 on 6150, since Brian Clark first heard it on October 31st of 2021. It's a Belo Horizonte 92.3 FM station which added shortwave. Fred Waterer forwards news from CBC. That former CBC journalist and producer Michael Finlay died on January 31st, 1 week after he was randomly assaulted on Danforth Avenue in Toronto's East End. He was also a foreign correspondent and involved in programs such as Dispatches, The World at Six, and Sunday Morning. He had retired in 2010 after 31 years. Dan Robinson reports steadily increasing quality of signal from Brazzaville, Congo, as they move further into 2023. Noted January 28th with French news and IDs until shut down at 18:33 on that date, as heard via remotes in Switzerland. Something's always wrong at Radio Havana, Cuba. Lately, the 11760 transmitter has been left on the air late into the night, with English or dead air, as late as 0730. As I noted on January 27th, 29th, and 31st. But I'm no longer hearing the 5 MHz harmonics on the 10 MHz band. The solar cycle is warming up, but so far only one station is known to be active in broadcasting on the 11-meter band on 25800 WMR in Denmark. It was being heard Sunday, January 29th, between 16 and 17 UT, by Andy Robbins in Michigan, Harold Froge in Michigan, and Andy Reid in Ontario. It's only 60 watts, and I was hearing, what else, a JBA carrier. Something's always egregious in Egypt. It seems that only one transmitter is left at Radio Cairo, not the one which we used to hear on 9440 attempting English at 2115. But Lucas Bandura reports 9900.19, January 29th, at 2035 with Quran readings via remote in the UK with the usual distorted audio. It had been absent for a while. On February 2nd, Observer Bulgaria reports a new unknown BRB clandestine via TDF Issoudun, France. It's on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday at 16 to 1630 on 15360, 250 kilowatts at 130 degrees to East Africa in Amharic, therefore Ethiopia non. Filed under Europe, although it's on what would normally be considered a North American pirate frequency, is Tango, 1800 UT, 28 January, on 6954.94, says Lucas Bandura. It was 10 over 9 into a remote in Spain, also heard weekly in the UK, Austria, and others, at 19 UT, with playing various identifiable tango songs. It went off in mid-song at 1921. He says it's been around for years, but disappeared in October 2022, now returned, previously 6-0, a format of Argentine tango music for hours at a time, with no talk. NRC DX News, This item headed, Stations Going Dark or Not? 650 KPRP in Honolulu, Hawaii. The license had been canceled December 5th after FCC received and posted a letter from the licensee's lawyers saying they have permanently discontinued operation of KPRP and in surrendering the license to the commission. The same lawyers also filed an identical letter for KKNE 940 on the same day. The FCC immediately listed both licenses as canceled, but now has reinstated both stations without any explanation. Does anyone know what's going on? Upon Asilomar State Beach, California, Ron Howard continues to log RRI Nabire, Indonesia, which is on the island of New Guinea, 7289.94. It was heard January 30th from 0810 till cut off at 0917. Mostly easy listening songs. And they were not on long enough to hear their Islamic segment for sunset, which was at 922. Then on February 1st, he says, heard from 0820 till CNR1 signed on at 0930. No RRI announcers, just nonstop EZL songs, some of them partly in English. There were Islamic-flavored songs starting at 0904 and the Islamic segment at 0913 to 924, the sunset prayer. Ron Howard says, I am so very grateful to Amano and Komatsubara in Japan for their wonderful reporting on the Voice of Freedom from South to North Korea. I'm very happy to be following their leads. The first day back on 6045 instead of 5920 was February 2nd, heard from 1215 to 1430, and he gives the titles of the programs in Korean and English translations, along with audio clips, some of which are Getting to Know Human Rights, Happy Republic of Korea, Our Sound Festival of Indigenous Music, Time Travel, History Exploration Party, Korean People to Unity to the Future, and Knowing is Power. That lasted until 1500. On January 28th, Mike Terry forwards a Radio World story. Martinique launches the first DAB Plus multiplex in one of France's overseas departments. The French communications regulator has authorized the first DAB Plus multiplex in Martinique, a 10-station multiplex on Channel 5B from three sites on the Caribbean island, to operate as a trial service through the end of September this year. This is part of a roadmap from 2022 to 2024 for interest in launching trial DAB Plus services in the Outre-mer, portions of France outside Europe. Of course, raises the question of the remote possibility of DXing DAB Plus in the Western Hemisphere. Not only would you need the proper receiver, of course, but also propagation above 200 megahertz. In the NASFA flash sheet, Ralph S. W. Perry in Illinois has been monitoring Myanmar radio via Naypyidaw on 5915. Port affairs signal on some days is from 1255. There's interference from China after 1300. On January 24th and 26th, but on 27th he says, wow, what a signal this morning, S8 from TuneIn at 1314 with Burmese pop music. A so-called 630-meter ham band. There's a CW beacon running 5 watts in Newfoundland on 477.7 kHz, call sign VO1NA, being reported by Steve Witt and others in the medium wave circle in the UK. Joe Craig is the operator. He's in Torbay, Newfoundland. They asked him if it's running nonstop, but he says it is not. So far, it apparently is running at hours when transatlantic reception is more likely than transcontinental. I've yet to see any reports from North America. I've certainly tried for it. 477.7 kHz. They were hearing it at 1830 and 2035 UT. Voice of Nigeria is still occasionally to be heard about 7254.9 after 06 UT. Sometimes modulated, sometimes not. Sometimes on the air after 0700, sometimes not. I've heard it as late as 0741 on occasion, but just barely modulated. The media magazine you monitor with your mind. World of Radio, 2176. A non-commercial service, like our website, worldofradio.com. Our thanks this week for financial support from Moises J. Coyoquia Escajadillo of Rigo Park, New York, formerly of Peru, who sent a check on a U.S. bank to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK, 73702. One may also contribute via PayPal, not necessarily in U.S. funds, to WORADIO@yahoo.com. AMs operating in the AM mode on the so-called 80-meter band congregate around 3880. But now in this AM window, a musical pirate has been heard. Lucas Bandura, using a remote in northeastern U.S., says January 30th at 0626 on 3880, slowly drifting upwards, he was hearing some songs in English, such as There's No You by Joe Stafford. At 0637, some awesome audio, January 30th, and a similar broadcast, January 27th, around 0800, on 3885, reported by HF Underground listeners. And then Bill WE7W replies, I've been listening to it January 30th for the last 40 minutes at 0815 to 855, a direct broadcast in western New York on a dipole, a great signal. Mike Terry forwards a Radio World story of January 31st that the FCC has notified a property owner in Tulsa, Oklahoma, that a pirate has been detected from their property on 100.7 megahertz. It's owned by Thumber Properties in Claremore. Previously, property owners have been threatened with fines of over $2 megadollars if they don't cease the pirate activity and give up who was doing it. In Medium Wave News, editor Steve Witt says, on January 27th, BBC announced they closed down the Arabic service. The 800-kilowatt medium wave transmitter at Asela, Oman, is still on the air on 1413 kHz with other language programs. In the NASA flash sheet, Ralph S. W. Perry in Illinois reports on 4752.35 Radio Huanta 2000 in Peru, January 27th, a good signal from TuneIn at midnight 20 via remote in Argentina, with news in Spanish and some a cappella songs. Nice to know this one is still active, he says. I just cannot hear them directly anymore in central USA. Some high-power medium-wave tests on 1089 kHz were carried out from Russia on short notice on February 1st and 2nd only, leading to this reply from Kai Ludwig in Germany. This leaves little doubt that all the testing is just an attempt by the transmitter operator, RTRS, to sell what is left of its medium-wave capacities. That is, what has not been destroyed in the meantime. It looks like VGTRK told them they are not going to lease 1089 kHz for Radio Russia nor Vesti FM. So their next target is Rossiya Svobodnaya, the organization set up in 2014 as a replacement for Voice of Russia and RIA Novosti, which the court chose to eliminate. That means RTRS now tries to sell airtime to Margarita Simonyan, the very person who a decade ago made the decision to cancel what was left of foreign broadcasting on medium wave. I assume these attempts to make the ruble roll will lead to nothing. And now our language lesson, a nice German word, Kriegsgewinner, which means war profiteer. In Australian DX News, Roman Pankov in Bulgaria reports on 10422 USB, an NID powerhouse signal, 19 January at 10:55, playing that non-stop disco version of the Soviet national anthem. It was first observed on January 19th on 9900, later on 9310, before moving to this frequency, 10422. This from Rosanna of Radio Northern Europe International, presumably originating in Sweden, about a special broadcast, RNEI Extra. It's a Japanese special which has already started airing in early February, but if you're hearing this in time, the remaining airings at special times are scheduled Friday the 3rd at 17:30 on 9670 via Germany, Saturday the 4th at 0925 on 9900 via Taiwan, and Sunday the 5th UT at 01 on 5010 via WRMI. Almost every day I try to monitor English from the Voice of Turkey at 23 UT on 5960 to North America. Some dates, however, it's totally missing, such as January 28th and February 1st, allowing us to hear nothing but East Turkestan. Other dates, Turkey came on late, such as January 31st. January 26th was supposedly the final day for BBC in Arabic after 85 years. Yves Ivanov posted the previous schedule on shortwave, so the next day, January 27th, I tuned in at 17 UT for the UAE relay on 9585. Well, it did come on the air, but all we heard was the ID, worldservice.com, otherwise dead air, the carrier cutting off and on again, and finally stayed off, with no modulation in Arabic or English. I guess the UAE operators were not quite sure whether there would still be any Arabic to emit. Mike Terry forwards an Economist story about this February 2nd. Many of the World Service's 40-odd language broadcasts face the same fate. Staff say they've been told that by March, BBC will have stopped TV transmission in Somali, Hausa, and French for Africa, as well as radio in Chinese and in the languages of Central Asia and the Indian subcontinent, not including Afghanistan. About one-sixth of the World Service's 2,500 jobs are to go. The bottom line is to blame. Previous rounds of cuts have already depleted morale. BBC will continue to make foreign language content, but more of it will be produced offshore and more of it distributed online. Content online, though in growing demand, will also leave audiences stranded in countries where governments shut their people behind firewalls. Staff at the Persian service are aghast that BBC is taking Persian radio off air next month and is going online just as Iranian authorities have cut the internet to silence nationwide protests. Audiences in countries with low and slow internet coverage will also suffer. Ken Zicke says, when BBC shut off shortwave broadcasting to North America, they claimed it was because shortwave listenership did not warrant the transmitter cost and listeners were using other means to get their content. But they then provided figures that showed that before they shut off shortwave, the listenership was increasing slightly almost every year, and afterward, no surprise to me, it did not increase, but went down slightly. Their actual numbers don't match the analysis, so which should we believe? Hello, chicken. Have you met egg? As reported last week, Absolute Radio has turned off all its medium wave transmissions in Britain, including the pileup on 1215 kHz. Now DXers over there and elsewhere using remotes in Europe are enjoying other signals on 1215, notably there's something from Spain and something from Italy. That would be Z100 in Milano. Furthermore, Alan Pennington forwards to the British DX Club this news: Bauer may be fined for closing Absolute Radio medium wave service. Ofcom, the regulator, has written Bauer Radio, setting out the view that it has ceased to provide the national AM service, Absolute Radio, before the end of its license period, and it is appropriate to serve on Bauer Radio a notice revoking the license for this service. The license was most recently renewed for a period of 10 years from May 2021. And where Ofcom revokes a national license, it must require the license holder to pay it a financial penalty. Regarding World of Radio broadcasts via WRMI, thanks to Rick Martin in Arizona, who confirms that the Wednesday 10:30 broadcast on 5850 has now been replaced by something else. The newish Saturday broadcast at 22:30, however, is scheduled on 5850, but has not been appearing, only on the other frequency 15770. Now, we think that may have been rectified, so again, check for 5850, Saturday at 22:30. The other 5850 broadcast, which is aimed northwest across America, is UT Saturday at 0130. Further discussion about the viability of shortwave in the World of Radio group. Bill Telford says, a very real existential threat. Actors like HF traders who covet the spectrum for other uses. They are better funded by far than radio advocates, and while their effect on the usability of the bands is becoming undeniable, it would be difficult to make the case that they have no right to exist. Maintaining a healthy balance of private programming from the U.S. may now be more important than ever. For people who do use radios, listening to broadcasts from a country leave one with an impression, good or bad, about that country and the people in it. It's more important, not less, that the other sides of who Americans are be presented in all aspects of programming, at least cultural programming. I would like listeners in other countries to experience the U.S. as a complex blend of things, not always palatable, sometimes just awful, but also occasionally sublime. Ben Cobb of Experimental Radio News comments, the money in shortwave is in data transmission, especially for high-frequency trading, not analog voice. I imagine the FCC will label conventional shortwave broadcasting a legacy service and announce a freeze on new license applications, pending regulatory changes toward an exclusivity regime that will limit the number of available new licenses to be auctioned. HFT proponents are lobbying FCC hard to issue them licenses ASAP before any such scenario materializes. As DPA MAC told FCC, after more than 2 years of review, the time for action on DPA MAC's proposal to construct an HF band station is now. The core mission of proposed stations is very likely not a new broadcast service, but private data communications, not intended for radio listeners, regardless of any perfunctory audio programming they may transmit. Stephen Luce says, Russia closed its last international shortwave services in 2014. They think that social media and the Internet are more effective in spreading their viewpoint and influencing public perceptions and opinions. John Filiozzo replies, of course they are more effective. January 6th, pizza shop, child sex rings, QAnon, etc. are proof. Irrational conspiracy theories were also and still are spread by mass media outlets. Russia has found that using gullible sectors of our own media to mask itself as the source might be the most effective. The fact that our media is more open and free makes it easy for them. It also explains why they work so feverishly to close theirs. Via MediaWave.info, WNJC 1360 in New Jersey is on the air. The engineer, Duke Hammond, says, I'm hoping to keep it on till about February 7th. From midnight till 3 a.m. Eastern, we will continue to run an omnidirectional DX test at 2 kilowatts, the last time to catch WNJC, if not forever. Some intriguing UNIDs from Ron Howard in California on 6300 USB. January 28th at 0730, reciting from the Quran. Someone has been doing this consistently for a long time now, but where is it coming from? Anno 9340 USB. Mark Taylor in Wisconsin reports an NID, January 28th at 1358, with contemporary dance music in Chinese, probably Mandarin, through the top of the hour. A pretty wide 4 kHz signal, quite a good signal at S5, but it went off abruptly in mid-song at 1407. He says, since it's in USB, in the broadcast band, and this strength, it's probably a North American pirate. As of February 2nd, Henry Mensch, N6HCM, says Universal Radio is taking orders now for the new World Radio TV Handbook 2023. More at WRTH.org. Via Richard Langley, SpaceWeather.com, says, in a sign of strength of solar cycle 25, monthly sunspot counts just hit a 9-year high. Current trend suggests solar cycle 25 might soon surpass 24 en route to an unexpectedly strong solar maximum next year. The monthly sunspot number of 144 in January was only percentage points away from topping the previous solar cycle, 24, which peaked in February 2014 with a monthly value of 146. Propagation outlook from SWPC. Geomagnetic field expected to range from quiet to active levels. ANKN is peaking at 15 and 4 on February 9th. And before and after that date, 12 and 4. Solar flux rising from 135 February 3rd to a peak of 155 February 10th to 13th, and down to 125 by February 24th. Thus concludes World of Radio 2176. With thanks to our contributors and stations, Glenn Hauser, inviting you to hear me again next week with a standard disclaimer.